Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, thank you, Farad, and welcome, my baby boomer friends. I'm Dale Irvin, and I'm already making people laugh before we even start the show, and that's a good sign. This is the show for baby boomers, those of us born between 1946 and 1964. And boy, we've got histories, we got stories, and every day we got pains. But this is our Mother's Day show. And so we're saluting all of the mothers, and I can't salute them alone, so I need my two partners. First of all, from Indiana, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slade.
Hey, the big scandal of the day is that Maximum Security might have cheated in the Kentucky Derby. Little hint to horse trainers, don't name your horse after a classification of a prison.
Yeah, well, that's so much for solitary confinement in the Preakness doing it, I guess. And joining us all the way from Denver, Colorado, it's the female side of the baby boomers represented by Carolyn Strauss.
Hey, guys, and it's funny, I watched the Kentucky Derby, absolutely loved it, and I put all my money on Plead the Fifth. And he didn't even place.
I just like to watch it for the hats, you know, because those are really just hideous. And, you know, I don't know if they just have one and they bring it out every year or if they burn it afterwards. But anyhow, this is our Mother's Day show. Probably everybody listening at one time had a mother, and every once a year we salute them, even though they do so much work every day of the year. And I remember my mom always used to make me sing that Mother's Day song. Remember that? M is for the millionth. And maybe I was the only one that had to sing it, but instead I wrote a poem instead because I can't sing. M is for Maalox, which you consumed by the gallon. O is for when you said, "Oh my God, what have you done?" T is for toilet training. You were very good at that. These don't rhyme, by the way. H is for hungry, which is what kids always are. E is for earaches when you had to put that horrible stuff in their ear. And R is for rheumatoid arthritis, which you have now. So you put them all together, they spell mother. I'm no Bob Dylan, but move over, Nobel Prize on that one.
Bless your mom for having to go to all of those shows you did when you were a kid, Dale, if that's the kind of performance you did when you were little. Wow.
I didn't have any shows when I was, I mean, I tried a magic show in the backyard once, and my mom's sitting there, "I can see that." so much for the mystery. But we have decided to bring two mothers with us on the show, one representing baby boomers and one representing millennials. And we'd just like to chat about how motherhood has changed, if it has, between the generations. First, representing the baby boomers, a friend of ours, Sally Edwards. Sally is a comedian. She's raised, how many kids you got, Sally?
I have three children.
Three adult children. Three adult children. Well, and, you know, and counting, you know, Bert, your husband, that's four children. So
five dogs.
Maybe six.
As you can tell, we know Sally and her husband. Sally is a comedian who was growing up with Tim and I doing all the clubs. And representing the millennials, that would be those born between 1981 and 1996, is we have Kelly Brock. Also joining us from Indiana, and she just had twins about a year ago. So that's, you know, that's jumping into the deep end of the motherhood pool right off the bat.
Yes, it is. Hi, everyone.
Kelly, do you have boys or girls or one of each?
Two boys.
All right. What are their names?
Emmett and Levi.
Emmett and Levi. Okay, so
now,
what?
Are you sure they're boys, Kelly? Because I understand that millennials like to let kids decide for themselves.
Oh my God, we hate that. But there was jokes about that in the beginning of. Well, you know, they'll decide when they get a little older what they are. But no, they're definitely boys, and they will forever be boys.
Mom has made the decision.
But yeah, that is that's the new trend. Is it's we're going to let them decide what their gender is. What the heck is they tried that when we were growing up. Oh, we'll let them decide what religion they want to be, and everybody wound up with none. And so, but good. They're both going to be boys. And Sally, you got what? Two boys, one girl.
Two boys and a girl. Yes. Okay. And
How old are
really
they now, Sally?
Twins.
You wanted twins? Why? To get it over with all at once?
No, I just thought it'd be really cool. But I didn't have twins, so I had another boy just 1 year later, 1 year and 10 days later.
Irish twins.
Yeah, so people
that's
always
what they call. Yeah, it's very derogatory. Yeah, Irish twins, which is it's a bad rap against the Irish, but.
But how old are your kids?
I like to say squirrel.
27, 28, and 29.
Okay.
Wow, so you had a busy 3 years there then, raising kids. Holy cow.
That's almost Irish triplets.
Yeah. I think that's harder than if they were born all at the same time.
And,
Because somebody is always becoming mobile.
Mm-hmm.
and by that you mean always moving around or walking or whatever.
Yeah. Like when the second baby's born, the other one's mobile, so it's really hard to take care of a newborn when one's running around.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they invented duct tape, I guess. But the names, the names of kids have changed in the last 30 years, because I read somewhere in this article that millennials now, some of them are naming their kids after furniture in IKEA.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, who's going to name their kid Gehinfieden,
The names are really hard to remember, yeah.
And the only good one would be Meatball, and that would be.
And I'm at the dog park, and people are calling their dog Sally. I don't appreciate that. How'd that happen?
Well, Kelly, Kelly named one of her kids after a pair of jeans, so I think that's clever. Kelly,
Mr.
where did
Strauss.
You make them from?
We should have named the second kid Strauss. That would have really got him.
Exactly.
That's his nickname, though. Levi Strauss and Emmett Brown.
Oh, Emmett Brown? After Back to the Future, Emmett Brown?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Or Emmett Kelly. That would be a good one.
Grandpa calls him.
Grandpa calls him Emmett Brown?
Uh-huh. Doc is his nickname.
I like that. I actually saw in this article that Dale's talking about. We're going to post it on our Facebook page. That millennial parents think about their Twitter handle when they name their kids. Did you do that, Kelly?
I actually don't do Twitter, so I don't even know what that means. But we did go through can other kids make fun of them? Does your name rhyme with anything goofy that they can be teased about when they get older? We kind of went through that thing, but Twitter, I'm not into that, so no.
Okay, I'm into Twitter. That don't make no sense.
were there any names that you wanted but then realized they rhymed with something dirty, so you didn't give them to them?
No, we actually always liked Emmett and Levi from a couple years before we even had kids. Hey, if we have kids, what do you like as names? And we just stuck with that. And sure enough, we had two boys, so we didn't have to argue about anything.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty easy. It's probably the easiest thing about them so far.
Just out of curiosity, is Levi's middle name 501?
No. No.
You know what's actually fortunate though. I don't think millennials enjoy Levi's like we used to, Dale.
Oh no. Oh no.
So most kids his age won't even know that there's a gene named after him.
Well, that was probably. Our parents never wore them because they compared them to dungarees from, the Second World War, which were worn by the lesser class people. So I know my dad never had a pair of jeans, and I know a lot of older folks that never even tried them. So, but, first of all, as far as I guess the whole birth process. Did either of you, you know, have, did you do the, you know, the in the water method, or just, you know, lay there and scream method, or the Lamaze or anything like that?
Oh, I had a nervous breakdown before I had the third one. Because
so she did the Valium method.
Yeah, well, that'd be fine. I was in the hospital room. Just sobbing, and I was supposed to have a cesarean. So the doctor came in and said, "Well, so you don't want a cesarean? You want to have it naturally?" And I said, "No." And then Bert took him. He took my husband in the hall, and he goes, "I don't get it." He goes, no, she doesn't want a cesarean, and she doesn't want to give birth naturally. She's looking for a third option, which is it's exactly true. I didn't want to do either of the others.
Call Captain Kirk. We need the teleporter to get this one out of here.
What's the third option?
That's it. I would call it a miracle, but you know. Yeah. How about you, Kelly? Did you have a natural childbirth, or were you out? Or?
I had a scheduled cesarean from like the get-go. Baby B was been upside down the whole time, and I didn't think he was moving. So I had it pretty easy. They put me under, but I wasn't completely out, and I didn't even know that they had cut me. And the second I looked, I had a baby in my arms. Didn't even know. I had asked the doctor, I said, did you cut yet? Are you working on that? He's like, yeah, no, I'm painting your toenails right now. We'll cut you in a minute. And then he handed me a baby.
Wow. Did you ask if the lady in the next bed knew that you cut that baby? If the lady in the next bed knew, I mean, he's doing your toenails and you get a baby. That sounds perfect.
Yeah, it happened so quick. I didn't notice. I didn't feel anything. It was good. No complaints.
Well, that's excellent. Yeah,
so
that's
can,
excellent.
Can I ask that a trend?
She just made all that up.
I want to ask a trendy question, okay? Let's talk about screen time. So, Sally, your kids, so they're 27, 28, 29. So the internet showed up when your kids were around 10. Is that right?
Maybe earlier.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, just in time, if I remember my boyhood.
I'd like to say something about the Twitter handle.
Yeah.
So I gave my son, Steven, who's now a stand-up comedian, I gave him a very nice name, Steven, right? So okay. His Twitter handle is Steven Haas Twit. Twitter didn't fit. And then he said he tried to type in Twitter, and then he left it like that.
It could have been worse. He could have been, the last four letters could have been a typo there, you know. So that would have been a real bad name.
I couldn't believe he kept it. That's horrible. So what about the internet? They weren't, were they on all the time? No, not like kids are today. Not at all.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, how did you monitor their screen time?
No, there was no, I didn't monitor anything.
But, did they have TVs in their rooms?
No.
Okay.
No, okay. They chose what they wanted to do pretty much, and it came out pretty well. If you tell them they're smart from the time they're born, they believe they're smart and they become smart.
Wow, there's a tip. There's a phrase that pays right there.
Yeah, that's it.
That explains a lot, because my dad always called me an idiot.
My dad asked if I was dumb as the dog. What does that mean?
And so you peed on his leg.
If I get spanked, they'd say that's smarts, and they go, "Yeah, you wish."
Hey, Kelly. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I just was going to say, whatever you want them to become, you tell them they already are, and that's how it works.
Okay. Kelly, do you have like an age set when you're going to when your boys are going to get their first phones, or?
Oh God, I haven't even thought about that yet. We just talked about the whole, you know, kids iPads and stuff like that, and I don't want to be that parent that, you know, bribes them constantly with it, because I never had that growing up. And they did, you know, I'm assuming they did okay when they were out in public sometimes, but I just don't want to be that parent that has a kid constantly, you know, stuck to the screen or like flips out because they're not going to get their screen or their iPad. But I mean, yeah. Who knows, we may give them and do that anyways, because it's what works and it gets them to sit still. And listen. But I don't want to be that parent. I don't want them to, you know, grow up with stuff like that. I want them to go kick cans and sticks outside and play. No video games, none of that stuff. And thankfully, my soon-to-be husband is not a gamer, so he has no, you know, gaming systems or any of this. We have a TV. That's about it. They don't have any in their rooms. I don't even give him my cell phone to watch stuff when we go out. So hopefully it stays that way, because that's what we're about.
So you're not going to buy them toys. You're just going to make them kick cans.
Well, they play with plastic water bottles. You know, we have all kinds of toys and stuff in the living room, and they want to play with the remote and my water bottle or my phone case or, you know, anything that's not a toy, they want. So
that's perfect.
It's going to make Christmas easy.
They're getting cardboard boxes.
Exactly.
What did you get? A doorknob. This is so cool.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, I know that your mom is there with you. Bless her heart. Our baby boomer mom of yours. She's there with you. And yeah. I'm just wondering if you're taking parenting advice from your mom, or are you and your husband going on the you and your partner, soon to be husband, I hear. Congratulations. Are you guys going on the internet for parenting advice? Because what we read is that most millennials are going on the internet and not asking their parents for advice. What are you doing?
We ask our parents for advice about, you know, hey, you know, we recently just started feeding them, you know, table food, like real people food, I guess you could say. And so I would ask her advice about, you know, did I not like it because my kids aren't eating it? So I'll ask some advice about stuff like that. But as far as like raising them with rules, we do what we think is right and what we like. And we only use the internet if there's like a weird rash or something that we've never seen before and don't know what to do with. Otherwise, Google it. Just Google it. Oh, my God, Google it. But otherwise, no, we kind of flowing with the flow and raising them how we want to. You know, raise them ourselves.
Well, my daughter, who is a millennial, will be giving birth in about a month to her first child.
Wow.
And they have been on the internet, you know, just checking all kinds of things. A baby kicked twice this hour. Is that good? I don't know. Let me Google it. You know, I mean, they're just looking for all kinds of stuff. And they have so much more access. I mean, they've done so many tests already that didn't even exist before, just to make sure that everything's going properly and stuff. I think it's really, really amazing.
In our day, though, we didn't have to ask advice from our parents. They just volunteered it.
Yeah.
More instructions than advice.
I'm scared to give advice.
Yeah. But they don't ask me for advice. Well, they never have. So, you know, it's no.
They're probably better off, Dale.
Yeah, really. I'm an example. A bad example. But, you know, that's okay. So what would you guys, what do you guys, and when I say you guys, I mean Carolyn and Tim, what mother issues or mother questions do you find interesting?
Well, I'm just curious if you guys are being peer pressured into being a certain way. So like, Sally, your kids are in their 20s. Are people like pressuring you for your kids to have kids? Is that happening? Like, we were pressured to have kids when we were in our 20s and 30s. Are they pressuring you to become a grandmother?
Oh, God.
Are kids pressuring me?
No. Are your friends pressuring you?
Oh, no, not at all. Uh-oh. No.
Are you pressuring your kids?
No, I stay away from them.
And there's some good mothering. That's right.
No, I've learned my place in the pecking order, and I shut up. No, when kids get older, I'm very careful not to interject my opinion unless to ask for it, because I don't want to get yelled at. Oh God, mom.
Leave us alone. Jeez. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sally.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my son said something about a long time ago, like 3 years ago, he said, yeah, I know you want to be a grandma. And I'm like, oh, my God, I had kids so late. I just feel like I just had kids. So I thought that was really surprising. I'm out of breath for a while.
And the second part of that question is for Kelly. Kelly, are you getting pressure at all from any of your friends or your peers about how you should be raising your twins, even though they're just barely one?
The thing I hear a lot, schedules. Oh my God, you don't have them on a, what time do they go to bed? They don't have a special bedtime and you don't do naps at a certain time. And oh God, you know, as if like my kids are going to grow up with some kind of dysfunction because they don't have a schedule like their children do. But we are very laid back, kind of go with the flow kind of people. If they're tired, they sleep. If they're not, then I'll keep them up. But, I mean, we have around, you know, a certain bedtime, around certain nap time, but I don't lock my kids in the room at 2 o'clock and say, oh, it's nap time. You have to do it right now, you know, kind of a thing. And that's what I notice a lot with people. It's like they're so strict on schedules and having to do things at the exact same time, the exact same thing every day.
Yeah, if you don't put them on a schedule, they're going to grow up and be stand-up comics. So look out.
I know. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to advise against that.
No, I didn't. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's the way to do it because I never put my kids to bed either, and they would ask.
One turned out to be a stand-up comic.
Yes, that's right. That's funny. But well, then they would just put themselves to bed. They go on fire and go to bed. That would be early, so people get tired.
Well, here's a big difference, I think, between millennial moms and baby boomer moms. Photos. How many pictures did you take of your kid as opposed to today when you take a picture about every 12 seconds? Because I remember when my daughter was born, you know, we took pictures, but then you had to get them developed and printed and all this other stuff. And now you can just take them as fast and videos. You know, we didn't know what videos were. It was an 8-millimeter camera at the time.
So yeah, back when we were kids, film was expensive. So we pretty much, we took about 10 minutes of home movies every year in growing up in our house, 10 minutes. And those movies were still completely unwatchable. So I can only imagine with how cheap it is to take video, how much unwatchable material is being built up.
Yeah.
And the old 8-millimeter cameras for indoors, you had that light bar, which was like 4 Chevy headlights on a bar that was that you had to hold up. And you know, so everybody's squinting, going, yeah, what? All they would do is wave. And now you can do HD video on your telephone. I think that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, because I'm Facebook friends with Kelly. I know that she's already taking more pictures of her kids than my parents took of me in my lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. For a long time, I thought I was adopted because I couldn't find any pictures of me. They'd buy the frame, but then they figured the kid in the frame was prettier. So they just...
what number were you?
I was the last one. See, I was like...
Me too.
But my brother and my two sisters are all over more than 10 years older than me. Uh-huh. I was known as the night Dad didn't want to go to the drugstore, and
I'm one of those.
By the time I got around.
Yeah.
What position are you, Kelly?
I'm sorry. What did you say, Tim?
Kelly, what position were you in the family?
I'm the middle child.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. There were no rules for you. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
No, none. Four younger. Oh my gosh! I think I ruined a lot of stuff for her.
And let's see what else there's. You know, it seems that they're saying that millennials are going to have fewer children than baby boomers. But, you know, you've already started out on the bonus side, Kelly. So, you know, you're already, you didn't have any, but a lot of them now are just figuring out just to have one child or at the most two. And you know, with baby boomers, first of all, you know, we already had three or four before we figured out what was causing them. And that's it? Oh, geez. All right. Stop.
Well, I think that most millennials are still paying for their own college. Like, you have kids and you think about putting away money for college. They're still paying for their own college, which they will be until their kids are 30. I mean, come on.
But the main underlying theme is that you're both still mothers, and motherhood has its own its own, I guess, special benefits. I'll never know what it's like to be a mother, and so I envy you sometimes, because Mother's Day you get taken out to dinner, you get presents. Father's Day you're expected to make the hamburgers on the backyard grill.
Oh, good point.
A frickin' tie.
Yeah, mothers get one day. Think about all the work they do, and they get one day. So bless your hearts.
I even half a day, though.
Yeah. Well, somebody still has to put the kids to bed.
The morning part is, yay, happy Mother's Day. And then, you know, you still go back to cleaning and cooking and doing laundry and picking up after everybody. So I feel like it's a half a day.
But a lot of things only get celebrated for one. Christmas lasts for one day. And that was a pretty big event, too. So, you know, everybody gets their every dog has his day, as someone said. I believe it was the, veterinarian. But
We should actually get 73% of the day, since we get paid 73% on the dollar. So, hey, sorry, my political statement for a minute, just had to throw that in.
And that's why we don't talk about politics on this show. Anyhow.
Politics, economics, you know, one is one, and there you go.
So to wrap it up here, I guess, do you have advice for mothers to be out there, or mothers, you know, new mothers or anything, both of you, what advice would you give to new mothers or people that are desiring to be mothers?
Yes, I have some advice. Do you want it?
Sally,
yes.
Yes, I think that when you're a mother, you should pretend a video camera's on you at all times. So if you start to lose your... I'm serious. This is what I did. If you start to lose your temper, you get a set, pretend there's someone videotaping you and you want to be on your best behavior. And that will always, when someone's watching you, you tend to be more conscious of things. So that's what I would did. I still do it. Even with, I train my dogs. I think of that so that I, stay cool.
Yeah. But in this century now, Sally, a video camera is on you. 100% of the time.
But you still get other knuckleheads acting up, even though the camera's on them. So I think that's excellent.
I thought the
true.
Sally, I thought that advice was to keep women out of jail. It was just for good behavior and good parenting. But wow, that's interesting.
if you do it in any situation, it works.
Yep. Kelly, sorry.
You just try to be the best person you are. If you're being videotaped, that helps. Okay. It's just a psychological trick. That's all.
Just don't use it like, don't think about it like in the bedroom, because then it just turns all ugly, you know. So don't pretend there's anybody watching you. You know, then you're waving and stuff.
Had to go there, didn't you, Dale? Had to go there. Kelly, do you have any advice?
Yeah, you hear 1,000 things from 1,000 different other moms. Oh, I did this and this worked. Every kid is different. Every environment and household is different. Things that work for people may not work for you. So, I mean, I was under a lot of pressure having two, not knowing what to do in the beginning and listening to all these people. And you figure out your own way you do things, and, you know, between eating and sleeping and schedules and raising your kids and teaching them things, you know, do what you think is right and what you think makes sense, because everyone's different, and that's kind of what I learned and caught on to that pretty quickly.
Well, thank you.
And don't criticize ever. Never criticize ever.
Oh, no.
Ever. No. Ever.
Not other moms.
That was the only kind of feedback I ever got.
I know, me too. I did too. That's why you don't do it.
Well, this
criticize. You rephrase it so it comes off as a compliment, but you don't criticize.
Okay. Well, how would you redo that? You know, like if they came home too late, instead of yelling at them and saying, you know, I think it's time we took some of your college money and bought
That's
you
very,
a watch.
Okay. No, what you do if you need to correct someone, and this is when you how to win friends and influence people, you always compliment. You say something positive first. That way they listen, and then you can make your statement. So I really, you know, I really love it when you come on, home on time all the time. And, you know, today it would have been great if you came home when you said you were going to. But you usually do.
Wow. Folks, I can't tell you, this is probably our first show that's ever given you real usable advice. I'm overwhelmed myself with all the good tips that we've gotten here. But we would like to very much thank Kelly Brock and Sally Edwards, two moms from two different generations who were sharing all of their motherly wisdom on this, our Mother's Day show. So thank you both so much for joining us. Tim, Carolyn, any last words before we go?
Hey, catch my other podcast, Rule of Three, with Tim Slagle and Ben Washburn. Available on iTunes.
Okay, and, Carolyn?
And being a baby boomer, I am so fortunate my mom is still on the planet, so I get to go to Florida, because she got the note that said she was required to move there, so she did. So I get to go to Florida this weekend and spend Mother's Day with my mom. I'm very excited. So happy Mother's Day, Mom, and to all the moms out there, and to all my friends who are moms, bless your hearts.
And I just want to say to all of the people listening here, do us a favor, would you? Turn one other person, just one, onto this show and have them subscribe on either iTunes or Podbean, B-E-A-N, and it's absolutely free. And you'll the bigger the audience we have, the more ideas we'll have. And also visit us on our website, anotherdayaboveground.com, where you can listen to this show, and you can also learn more about us and leave us a message as to what you would like us to talk about in the future. Other than that, my friends, please be thankful that you're up and listening to this. That just proves that today is another day above ground. See you next week.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.